Matthew Landman with us as we talk about strange things that are coming down from the skies on us in all directions. We're going to be back and chat more with him and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Matthew Landman. Matthew, one of your websites, actualactivist.com. Tell me about that.
So actualactivists.com is, well, the impetus of it was, are you an actual activist or are you, you know, just clicking like on Facebook? Because I want to empower people to embrace the knowledge and utilize it in this new world, right? So Actual Activist is a holistic approach to information. It's got a handful of categories, including health, 5G, chemtrails, but especially I have a podcast hub for people that are looking for, and I'd love to include your show on it, people looking for different kind of truth-seeking podcasts that they can't find on the censored internet. And I have a daily truth blog that's inspiring because it crosses the whole spectrum of truth. And like I said before, truth is a frequency, it's a vibration. And the more that we can elevate as a collective together on this frequency of truth and not lies and falsehoods, the more that we can create this new world while they try to create a new world order in front of our eyes.
When you're working on your MBA, did you ever think you'd be doing what you're doing now?
No, and even when I became a chemtrail activist, I was passing out flyers, and I never thought that I'd even be doing that. And it's evolved so much. The path of an activist, you kind of just let go, and you start to trust the universe. And I think a lot of people are having to let go right now. I believe that the energy calls for spiritual revolutionary war, but the powers that be, they want to misdirect that energy and create a civil war out of all this. And it's up to us to embrace the truth and really guide the way. No, I never thought, I thought I could potentially become a filmmaker, hopefully, ideally, one day. I never thought I'd be able to come out with a successful film, and I never thought it would be conspiracy-driven. I grew up in the D.C. area. People that liked crystals or anything metaphysical or esoteric or even astrology, I would scoff at and laugh at that. But I've become a completely different person. I've gone 180 degrees, and I encourage everybody out there, you do not even have to be the person that you were yesterday. You don't owe anything to anybody. Be yourself and embrace it and be empowered by all that. And then if you haven't seen my movie Frankenskies, by the way, I haven't plugged that enough, please check out Frankenskies at frankenskiesthemovie.com. It's on BitChute and all these other platforms. I put it up there everywhere. It's in Spanish and French as well. And even I've got a version out there in Russian, I believe. If you haven't seen it, please at least watch the first 10, 20 minutes. It's a historical chronological timeline. It starts off in the 1920s and goes through the chronological timeline of weather modification history and how the U.S. military industrial complex got to sharpening their tools to what they have now. And if you realize that in the 1960s and the 40s and the 50s that they had this technology, then it's self-evident that they're utilizing it right before our eyes if you just go out and look up, you know.
We're going to take calls with Matt in just a moment. Frankenskies 2, tell me about that.
It's developing right before my eyes, and I hope that it involves the activists coming together and stopping Bill Gates from dimming the sun. It's the sequel to Frankenskies 2 is another chronological timeline taking us into the future. Frankenskies was released in 2017. So from 2017 to present is what the film is trying to embrace, and then some of the future. I think it was basically God's plan or some divine intervention how the movie Frankenskies came out, because I was trying to get that movie out in 2015, George, and all these things kept getting in my way. And then finally in 2016 and 2017, the powers that be started saying through the official narrative, we need to geoengineer and dim the sun. We've got 12 new clouds that we need to classify, which are all chemtrails. And the vernacular in the media literally introduced chemtrails to the public. So I was able to use a little bit of that in the film, thankfully. And just like that, I believe that this Frankenskies 2 is being delayed so that we can rally together and stop them from dimming the sun, and that can be in the movie, hopefully.
All right, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, Braden's with us in Wyoming. Hi, Braden.
Hi, George. Nice to be on again.
You too. Go ahead with your question.
I've got a comment and a question for Matt. First, my comment. Bill Gates once said that if we do a good job with the vaccines, climate change and birth control that we can lower the population by 90%. And it seems to me like he's doing a pretty darn good job of that.
Not sure if he said that for sure for real, but who knows. But go ahead with your question, Brad. Braden? No, he hung up after he did that. Did you hear a question out of that, Matthew?
No, I didn't, but I definitely heard the tone there, and that it's Bill Gates is a eugenicist, and his plan is unraveling right before our eyes, and I can see that. A lot of people have been programmed very deeply with Mr. Burns and The Simpsons trying to block the sun, and The Matrix also, they blocked the sun in that movie. And when Bill Gates, this boogeyman, is bringing it to the consciousness, people can easily put it in their heads as science fiction and kind of dismantle it and not try to fight it because of the propaganda machine that's already predictively programmed, how, you know, socially engineered the populace. So I think that's where he's going with that, and that's my response.
First-time caller, Max, truck driving in Florida. Welcome to the show, Max.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate you honoring truck drivers.
Absolutely. You guys keep America going, Maxie.
Thank you very much. We try. It's getting harder.
Yeah, I believe it.
My question for Matthew is, being that they're pushing the vaccine so hard, and I was born in 1968, I've never seen them push a vaccine this hard, like in the way that they're doing it. And now the 5G, I've heard rumors about the 5G, that it manipulates your cells, and I'm now discovering that the vaccine does something to your DNA. Do you think there's a correlation between the two?
I think everything is connected. It's like an octopus with all these different tentacles. Just aluminum crosses all these different spectrums. You know, smelting aluminum, you get fluoride from that. It's a byproduct, toxic waste. So you've got fluoride and aluminum and aluminum in the vaccine. It's hard to even call this a vaccine because it's not a traditional vaccine. The virus isn't isolated. It's not the usual being injected with the virus in your immune system.
And now they're talking about more booster shots. My gosh, it never ends.
Yeah, it seems like that the stuff that we're getting injected with, it probably interacts with 5G. And, well, if you start looking at what's being proposed now with the COVID pills and electroceuticals and whatnot, I mean, we're a slippery slope away from Gattaca or something where we wake up in the morning and pop our pills and you've got an AI watching us, making sure we do so. You know what? I've met a lot of truckers, and they're all very awake. I think that you guys see the sky so often out on the road. I love the open road. I've driven cross country about 12 times. I kept moving from Virginia to California trying to find where I wanted to live. And I swear that open sky really wakes people up. What do you think, Max?
Indeed, indeed. Let's go. Thomas is with us in La Jolla, California. Go ahead, Tom.
George and Matthew, great information that you're bringing to the table. A comment and then a question. If you have aerosol spraying, chemtrails, and whoever is running that program has to be calibrating it from space, okay, with remote sensing through satellites. And I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, if you have a volcanic eruption, okay, that can be monitored by all sorts of satellites, you know, for temperature, for emissions, et cetera, from outer space. And, you know, there's a lot of satellites that do that, Landsat, that type of thing. And it's called remote sensing, okay, and digital image processing. They don't take photographs. They actually assemble visual images, et cetera, you know, from the information that's gleaned from the satellite. And, I mean, you could do all sorts of things with remote sensing. Like the Pentagon tracks submarines underwater, you know, through the heat signature, you know, micro temperature changes in the ocean, and this can be observed from outer space again. So my question, I was wondering if you could walk us through, if they're doing like chemtrail spraying over Southern California or St. Louis, say, they have to be monitoring that through satellites and actually calibrating from space. And there's a lot of satellites that do that, like Landsat satellites, etc. You know, EPA has satellites, NASA has satellites. For sure, the Pentagon has satellites that do monitoring of changes on the Earth's surface. So I was wondering if you could walk us through, how do they calibrate? They have to be calibrating this.
So the chemtrails get sprayed out with different drones and barium release rockets, for instance. Most of them are unmanned, but they do have planes that are flown, you know, manned aircraft, and then they even do have some airlines outfit with sprayers to fill in the gaps. It's my belief that they have high-altitude balloons monitoring a lot of this, but especially the barium, aluminum, and strontium, these are the primary chemtrail constituents, and they spray a haze of barium, they spray a haze of aluminum, they spray a haze of strontium, they mix it together to get these chemical reactions, try to get it to stick in the sky longer. So they'll have barium that's negatively charged, aluminum that's positively charged, and it interacts and creates a chemical reaction and stays in the sky a little longer. They have ground-based NexRad and Doppler systems. These things look like giant golf balls. They're on the sides of hills. They're on aircraft carriers and whatnot. They claim that these Doppler systems are predicting the weather, but what they're doing is controlling the weather by utilizing intersecting microwaves in the atmosphere. But what they can do, along with the intersecting microwaves and creating high-pressure systems through this ionospheric heating technology, is Tesla Tech, and it goes back to the HARP system in Alaska, but now it's like a mobile HARP system. While they're hitting these hazes of heavy metals with these radio waves, essentially, and microwaving them and whatnot, they can detect how much of what chemicals in the sky through hitting them with radio waves and doing a radar, basically, on the hazes and see how much they need to mix and what have you and fill in the gaps. So we can't even see the barium haze. I think that's what the contrail is, the short trail. And on a day where you see a whole bunch of planes that are just doing the short trails, I think I've witnessed, actually, well documented, that they're priming the sky. I call them primer planes now when I see the short trails that people call contrails, and they'll prime the sky to a point that they get it saturated. We can't even see it with the naked eye, but they use these NexRad stations, the ground level, to bounce radio waves off of the sky to see how much metallics they put in, to see when they are done priming the sky, to then go ahead and mix the aluminum and strontium with it and what have you. So I think that they have ground-based stations, and because the heavy metals are so dense, they can just bounce radio waves off of them and see how much more they need to add and what have you, if that made sense.
Next up.
Hey, hello, La Jolla. Nice to hear from you down there. I live in San Diego, and I used to go snorkeling in the La Jolla Cove almost every day with those seals. So nice to hear from you.
Can you still snorkel without it being polluted?
I'm in the Northern California now, so I haven't touched the water for a while. Kind of water.
What do you say to people who might come up to you, Matthew, and say, come on, they're not spraying anything on us. They're just doing things to help our environment. What do you say to them?
Well, everyone has rose-colored glasses, and they always want to say, well, they wouldn't be doing that to us. And I try to meet everybody where they're at, and that's what activism is like. You know, you find people on their level, meet them where they're at. I don't go to my grandmother and drag her all the way down the rabbit hole. You know, my grandmother, if it was her, I would say, well, you know, the powers that be, they're, you know, misinformed, and they're trying to slippery slope us to controlling who gets, you know, farmland and rain and all this sort of stuff. The answer to your question is, it depends on your audience, you know, and what they're ready for.
Sure.
And if they're not ready for any of it, then you got to start really small and, you know, gauge, you know, where they're at with 9/11 and all these other things. If you can't see the writing on the wall that we're slippery sloping ourselves into a social credit system by having everyone police each other, you know, through all of this COVID nonsense and what have you, then you might be talking to a brick wall. There's a very strict division going on right here where people are thinking one way, where they take authority as the truth, or the other side.
Or you don't.
Yeah, or you don't. You take truth as the authority. And that's the truth seeker activist in us all, that we actually, all of us, want to take truth as the authority, but we're being blindsided. And I think that this age of awakening is upon us, and we can all step out of those lies.
Let's go to David, Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the show, David. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dave.
I'd like to ask you, guest, when Rush Limbaugh was alive, he had one overwhelming theme every day on his radio show, how global warming is BS. Was he right or was he wrong? And as far as Bill Gates is concerned, I wish he'd stick to more worrying about our power, how to protect our power grid than blocking the sun.
Well, that's true, too. And Rush, of course, an old friend of our network, talked a lot about the global warming, and he believed that it was not man-made, as a lot of us do. Matthew?
I like to hear people from the Midwest. It seems like everyone in Ohio has got a good head on their shoulders. I've been recognizing that as of late. I live on the West Coast, and it's hard for me to even find a grocery store where I'm not chastised or even attacked for not wearing a face mask, you know. So I can't even help but think that there's a strict divide, and that people that can see the writing on the walls, like people in Ohio and not, they're absolutely correct. I don't think global warming is real at all. I haven't seen sea levels rise one bit. I used to live at zero sea level. I haven't witnessed it at all. I haven't witnessed the New York being underwater, like Al Gore thought or said. You know, the story of global warming seems like completely fabricated. They do create extreme weather events, and they've actually done this bait and switch now to make it climate change, because really there is no heating going on. And it seems like that the powers that be want to slowly bait us and switch us into climate change lockdowns, because we've gotten used to these lockdowns, and now they just have to switch the narrative and say, oh, yeah, well, you were afraid of that. Now be afraid of this and lock yourselves inside. And when the 5G system is completely in place and the smart meters can monitor who's doing what and how much carbon and if they're driving and when they leave their house, that's when it gets really interesting, and we need to say no.
And I think, Matthew, what a lot of people are doing, too, though, is they're confusing cyclical climate change based primarily because of the sun on pollution. And I think that a lot of people confuse the two. Nobody wants pollution, and we have been polluters on this planet, but that doesn't mean it's changing the climate.
No, and the number one greenhouse gas, not everyone knows this, it's water vapor, okay? The whole talk of carbon dioxide being this evil thing, I mean, if they really cared, we'd be planting trees, okay? And the deep down guilt trip is we exhale that gas all day long, but nobody will go and say that. It's a guilt trip to make us the ones that are doing it, and then it'll be our fault that we have to dim the sun, you know, because of something that we did.
The plants want us to continue to exhale that.
Yeah, no kidding. And really, global warming, as they claim, they throw all these things at us, like the forest fires that they exacerbate with windstorms when they couldn't make rain on top of these things. Aluminum is a patented fire accelerant, and so is the barium that they spray on these forest fires. They make the fires worse. They make the hurricanes worse when they could quell them. They make the tornadoes worse when they could quell them. And then they say, oh, climate change, we've got to do something about this. They're cornering the overall public into thinking, oh, we need something so bad. What's it going to be? The anthropogenic global warming as it's pitched to us, I don't believe it's true at all.
Hold on, Matt. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. Next hour, Dr. Robert Farrell joins us with his latest work, The Science Behind Alien Encounters. Looking forward to that, and we'll be back in a moment with Final Calls with Matthew Landman as well. And welcome back, Matthew Landman with us, our final segment. George Norrie here. Matt, how can people peruse your clothes again? Where can they find it?
Oh, thank you so much for asking.
Sure.
The website is Spero, which is a Latin word. It's Spero, S-P-E-R-O. SpiroGear.com, and it's a wide range of silver-lined clothing and apparel and the foam bags. People are especially loving the blankets just to throw in your lap while you're on the wireless laptop or what have you. And for your listeners, I have a coupon code, COAST2COAST, with the number 2. And then also I'm on Instagram, SpiroGear, same thing, S-P-E-R-O Gear on Instagram. And while I'm at it, check me out on Facebook, Matt Landman. I know all that stuff is the social media is dying with the censorship, but I'm still on there. Thanks for being a friend.
Okay, great. And through your actualactivists.com website, can they get to some of these other websites?
Definitely, yeah. That's like the hub, and in there you can find all sorts of information. Also, come on there and steal my memes, my health memes. Please share this information far and wide. I guarantee anybody listening, you go to actualactivists.com, even yourself, George, and I know you know so much, you can learn something.
Absolutely.
I think it's amazing that you've had so many different guests, and you've learned so much, and you're still at it. Way to be.
You can never learn too much, that's for sure. West of the Rockies, Maria's with us, Burbank, California. Hi, Maria.
Hello, George. I'm a new big fan of yours.
Well, thank you. It's great. Glad to have you with us.
So I have two comments, and I want your opinion.
Okay, go ahead.
Comment number one is speaking about the signals affecting the human body, and there's a big push right now for these electric vehicles. So what's going to happen when all that electricity, magnetic energy, whatever, saturated? You know, I live in Burbank, California, fires, and we have rolling blackouts.
All right, let's use that one first, and then we'll come back to you for the second one, Maria. Go ahead, Matt. Electric vehicles.
Yeah, people have to learn more and more about grounding and what the electricity around them does to their bodies. I mean, all the way down to our cells and our neurosystem. I mean, everything, our brain, our synapses in our brain, everything is electrical. Everything is electricity. We need to learn about grounding and detoxing and what our bodies are. And it's like we pass the buck to the doctors and pass the buck to all these specialists, but at the end of the day, we need to embrace our own health and heal thyself. Healthy, heal thyself. I think the word healthy really just means heal thy, and it's you. You can empower yourself with it all. I reject all of it, and I think more and more we're going to have to move to the country as it unravels. I mean, that's just what I think, that as we embrace the information, we're going to have to just go places where it's not as dense, all in due time, and we'll create our own, you know, tribe as it happens. It's, you just have to let go, it seems, in some of these instances. If they came and built a 5G tower out front of my home, I would protest it. But then I would also embrace the truth and, you know, get some lead-based paint and get some sparrow silver clothing. But inevitably, I might have to move. You know, I might actually have to move. And I think that the answer to some of these people's questions, and they don't want to hear it, is we may have to move to the communities that are more accepting of our ideologies and kind of start over from scratch and build our new world out of their new world order.
Let's go back for her second comment. Go ahead, Maria.
Well, the second comment is I do believe that the mark of the devil is either a QR code or a barcode, but it's something that is visible. It's not like a discreet little chip. It's already on its way. You know, the groundwork, the groundwork is already set.
What do you think of the mark of the beast, Matthew?
I think that Maria is completely right, and this quick reference QR code is getting people to accept and normalize this slippery slope towards an AI social credit system that includes vaccine passports. Okay, right now we have people social policing one another, which will easily transition to an AI social credit system where society will be exhausted by people policing one another. You know, nobody wants to always yell at me for having my face out. You know, they don't feel like that they have to do that. They want to pass it on, and eventually they'll crave the 5G AI monitoring technocratic dystopia. And yeah, the mark of the beast will be a freaking QR tattoo, I think, probably on people's foreheads at the end of the day, but first they'll put it on their wrist and, you know, try to be cool about it. But it's going to be a weird, trendy dystopia that we're entering, and so many of us are waking up as they lie right to our faces, and the falsehoods are in plain sight. They used to kind of shroud it. They used to, you know, mix in some truth and try to confuse us. Now it's like full steam. Either you accept the lies as fact, or you are resonating to a vibration of truth where your spiritual destiny lies, in my opinion. So it's going to be an interesting ride, and I can't wait for all those awesome people like Maria and yourself, George, to come on this vibration of truth and lead the way for everybody.
And hold on and don't fall out. Let's go east of the Rockies. Joe, Long Island, New York. Hi, Joseph.
I would have two questions. The first one would be, it seems like there's a catch-22 to the 5G in terms of the Internet of Things, or having maybe trucks being able to ride on, you know, all the way along the line on a remote highway and under the 5G. So in other words, do you need the 5G for the Internet of Things? That would be my first question.
Yes, you do, because the Internet of Things has everything connected across the board. And you, if you're going to have driverless cars, they need to know what they're doing at all times. I can't help but think, where are all these jobs going to go? I mean, if you start giving the jobs away to robots and you have self-driving trucks and whatnot, not only is it dangerous and a slippery slope, but don't these humans need jobs? I mean, come on.
Next up, Joe, let's go for your second.
Yeah, my second question would be, it relates to what I've heard about the vaccine recently. One was a depressing podcast, the Stu Peters Show podcast, had an Ariana Love on a couple of episodes back that said the J&J vaccine actually was found to have the Ebola virus from Stockholm researchers in the spike protein. It's inducing the AIDS virus, which could be sexually transmitted. And then there was a post on LifeSite News, which collects articles, it's LifeSite News, that said people are getting explosive cancer, tumors, cancer and non-cancer from all these vaccines right away. And it gave, you know, a few people. Now, my tie-in with this is China. There's a theory that, or hypothesis, that China wants to take over America without destroying the infrastructure, buildings, and roads. And they're behind fentanyl coming in from the borders. And between that and the vaccine, we'll lose most of our population. And they'll just come in and take over. And they'll have another, you know, be able to spread out their 2 billion people in the United States. What do you think of that theory?
Interesting thoughts. What do you think, Matt?
So my answer to that is whenever I listen to something that's depressing and I get off of a show or whatever and it and I'm left in a place of disempowerment, I question the narrative no matter what it is. There's a lot of power in frequency. And the powers that be, they want us disempowered and confused, living falsehoods, spreading lies, and not getting the momentum from our peers, you know. And so the chemtrails and the 5G, it's very easy. And everything else, even the vaccines and the, you know, it's got the Ebola virus in it and all that stuff. It's very easy to confuse people and to get people upset. And in that, they're it's victimhood. It's so easy to stoke the victimhood psychology of the world. And then in that, people are not empowered. They're not on a vibration of truth. They're not doing anything about the attack on them. And I would question that narrative. Anytime I hear anything about 5G or chemtrails that just leaves people helpless and hopeless, it makes me question it. People come to me after seeing the movie Frankenskies, and they're empowered. They're so passionate, and they even say stuff like, Matt, I never would have seen these falsehoods with the COVID narrative or the global warming narrative or any of these things if I didn't see the light presented to me in the way that you did with Frankenskies, because the truth is empowering and it's supposed to set you free. It may upset you, but it's supposed to lead you to a higher vibration and not leave you in a victimhood state, if that makes sense.
Let's go to Robert in Syracuse, New York. Hey, Robert.
Hello, George and Matt. It's
Hi there.
A pleasure to speak to you both. And I'm a longtime listener from way back from Art Bell, and I'm one of the long-time listener, so I and
Thank
also
you.
I have some background in certain of the subjects you're speaking of, satellites and environmental engineering and so forth. And my question is, actually, I have, you know, 3 points I'd like to have you give a brief comment on. And one is the nuclear plants, which I'm a survivor of Three Mile Island. I was there when it broke down.
Oh, God.
And luckily returned, but many of the people, including engineers there, developed cancer after that. I was there right by the plant during the first 3 days, and I'm a semi-survivor, I guess you could say. But anyway, the other thing is, what about the nuclear plants around the country, around the world, as they affect the climate and or as they affect our health? But also there is in Europe, we have the largest, we're losing a lot of our forests which give oxygen into the air. In the United States and the Amazon rainforest and so forth, to these giant companies that are pelletizing the trees and sending boatloads of pellets over to Europe to stoke and to fire their, electric generating plants. And they've just put in another huge one, biggest in the world, in Mississippi is planned. They have them also in North Carolina and in Georgia and so forth. And I'd like you to address whether or not these pellets are actually causing pollution and problems that they're supposed to be an alternative to coal and so forth, especially coal. But is there a comparison there that you can say, would they be worse than coal? Would they be better? Or should they not be utilized in power generation as opposed to using some of our other alternatives, solar and so forth? And how also the other point would be the seals that you were swimming with, well, how are they being affected by the toxins and pollution that's in our oceans and that one floating plastic island?
Plastic island. Okay, let's get him in before we're out of time. Can you address the pellets question, Matthew? Well, Matthew's gone. He is not there. Tom? Matthew's gone. You need to call him back. Okay. In the minute that we have. So I guess we can't address the pellet situation. I don't think is causing any pollution. We have seen what has happened to the nuke power plants, to be sure. Fukushima, Chernobyl as well. It's been a disaster, to be sure. Let's go next to Lance in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show. Lance, you're on the air with us.
Hello, George. I love you guys, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you, sir.
You've helped my father, Don Blazes, and I get through a lot of hard times. He's the one that turned me onto the show, and he's got a whole segment for you guys about his mathematical proofs, his polygonal number functions, and he's even got some breaker music for you guys. I love my father. He's a great inspiration to me. He's the one that turned me on to your show.
That's great.
Yeah, I love you guys. You guys are great. You really, George, I can't express enough how much you've probably saved so many lives just being who you are. You're just a good man, you know, and you're a searcher for truth. You know, and I can sense that. I can tell you firsthand that the afterlife is real. Emotions are real. Everything is real that you're searching for. Most of it. You know, and these chemical trails, this guy's pretty much on to it for the most degree. He's there are some things that the chemtrails. There's remote neural monitoring. I probably shouldn't even mention this stuff. I'll probably end up in some ditch somewhere. But
yeah, be careful. Be careful,
George. I don't want to end up like Phil Schneider or whatever. But it's so much more advanced than we give it credit for. I mean, for the last 4 days, it was pure blue skies in my neighborhood in northern Los Angeles, California, and then all of a sudden they started spraying us today. And the minute I woke up, I went to the restroom and I could smell. I felt like I was sniffing in. It wasn't a specific smell, but it felt like static electricity going in my nose.
You could feel it, just a spark. Yeah, we're almost out of time here, Robert. And Matthew, you're back, and I just wanted to thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch with us. All right.
I really appreciate it, and thank you so much, and I appreciate your listeners as well.
Matthew's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Robert Farrell joins us. We are going to be talking about alien encounters.